Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, September 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Cabbage. I'll be honest with you, I never gave much thought to the stuff, but in doing research for this program, I have found a new respect for this leafy green or purple biennial plant. Did you know that, according to some sources, it was probably domesticated around 1000 BC in Britain? Before that, you can just imagine the herds of wild cabbages roaming across the ancient English countryside. Well, magnificent. Did you know the cabbage is good for you? Specifically fermented cabbage? Well, our guest today does. She's Kyla Titus, author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove. Kyla will teach us all about this superfood that is fermented cabbage and share some great recipes, and we'll try a little bit today. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Food Friday, and today we enter the strange and mysterious world of the cabbage. Where do they come from? Do they mean to do us good or harm? Well, we'll unlock these mysteries today as we welcome Kyla Titus. Kyla is an author, lecturer, and educator with over 35 years' experience and knowledge in the art and science of cabbage fermentation. Over the past decade or so, Kyla has developed simpler techniques for creating the superfood and has developed exciting new flavors, borrowing from world cuisine as her inspiration. In fact, they say that even people who don't like cabbage or kimchi or sauerkraut are surprised to find that they enjoy these new delicacies. And I must say, tried a little bit up in the kitchen, pretty darn good. Kyla is the author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove, a book that shows how you can benefit from the tiny microorganisms, better known as probiotics, by making fermented cabbage easily and painlessly in your own home, whether you live in a city apartment or you're in the suburbs or a farm or even a cottage in the woods, a little lean-to. Kyla Titus, welcome to Food Friday.
Thank you very much, Ray. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited, too. I've learned many, many things today. Now, you also are the proprietor of The Cabbage Cove. In addition to the name of your book, Secrets from the Cabbage Cove, there actually is a Cabbage Cove.
Yes, there is.
And you're out Oneonta way, right?
We do the Oneonta Farmers Market, actually. But we make the sauerkrauts up in Richfield Springs at the Meadowlinks Golf Course.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. So we have a lot to learn today. Before we get started with our chat, let's give everybody the phone number, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. As a matter of fact, let's go over to the phones now, and we welcome Alan in Great Barrington. Alan, you're on the line.
Well, yes, I am, Ray, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no, it's not that, Alan. Oh, you're on the banned list. Oh, I'm surprised. You're not even allowed on the show.
Oh, on the banned list. Oh, yeah.
How you doing, man?
Actually, Ray. Well, I'm doing very well, and in fact, we're doing okay. Let me tell you just what's happened. We've just gone over that threshold of $200,000 in the fund, in the lockbox part of the fund drive.
Wow.
And as everybody knows, that is a very big achievement. Nevertheless, we have, what, about 2 weeks to go, Ray, before we start the fund drive?
We start the drive October 17th.
Now, every day during the fund drive, we generally make about $100,000. That's what people give. So it should be doable to get to our $400,000 mark or even to our $500,000 mark.
Yeah.
Well, frankly, get it all over with. But because we're going into an election, we've got to be able to get the cabbage, get it,
hey,
in order to you see what I mean?
I see what you did
In
there.
Order to get this thing done, and nothing can happen. No Vox Pops. No morning edition, no round table. Nothing can happen if we don't have the money to run the station.
Yep.
And the fact is, all you got to do is think about, everybody has to think about themselves and what they get out of it. If they get a lot, you put a little in, and it's done in no time at all. Now, I think there may be a few of those tickets left. Is that right, Ray?
I believe there are some pairs of tickets to the Capitol steps at the Egg, and I believe that is just after the election. I forget the date, maybe November. I don't have it in front of me, but it's after the election, and $125 pledge will get you a pair of tickets to that, and it'll help feed that lockbox.
And that's close to selling out.
Yep.
By the way, it's almost, and if somebody calls 1-800-323-9262, and hit zero, somebody will tell you all about it. It's a great way of giving. Or you can go to WAMC.org.
That's
but
right.
Here's the point. We really need to get to that $400,000 mark. So we're counting on everybody who listens to Vox Pop every day. Say, okay, I can't do a lot, but maybe I'll give $25. Maybe I'll give $100. I'll do something because I love the station. I'm part of it. We've all made this thing together, you're saying, and you'll do something. And we really appreciate it. We do.
All right, Alan Shartok, before we let you go here, do you have a question about fermented cabbage for Kyla Titus?
I do, of course. It's the same question that everybody has.
Here he goes. I know where he's going, and I apologize in advance. Go ahead.
If the cabbage is fermented, will it cut down on the flatulence that generally comes from cabbage?
Absolutely it will. If you think of fermented cabbage as being pre-digested, you can see that it helps a lot with that problem. Most of the flatulence comes from the sugars present in cabbage. Cabbage has an unusually high amount of sugar for a vegetable, and that's because it's the perfect food to ferment.
Mm. Well, I apologize for Alan.
Is it a bad food for diabetics?
Absolutely not. My product is 100% vegetarian. It is gluten-free. It is low-carb. It's absolutely delicious, too.
Alan loves the low-carb part. Hey, thank you, sir, and I appreciate you calling in on the program.
Well, you're giving me the bum's rush, huh?
Yes, I am.
Great. Always wonderful to talk to Uncle Gruffy.
See you around, man. We'll see you Monday. Alan Shartok, and remember, the lockbox is open, WAMC.org. Well, there you go. You got a celebrity question, and I knew where he was going with this right away. Okay, so let's get back down to, let's start with the book, which I've had on my desk for about a week now, and it's fascinating stuff. It's Secrets from the Cabbage Cove. It's a rather specific thing to write a book about. How did you end up writing a book about this? What brought you to this?
Well, I never really intended to share all of these secrets of mine, but I was urged on by family and friends and people at the markets that I talked to when I explained what I did. Everybody encouraged me to share this with the world, with as many people as I could, because these recipes are so different. And I did not want to just simply make it myself and sell it at the market. I wanted to teach people how to do this themselves. The subtitle of the book is actually How to Create a New Millennium Superfood.
All right, how do you define a superfood? Why is it such a superfood?
Well, first of all, it is in a sense a raw vegetable loaded with nutrients. Cabbage is very high in vitamin C and other wonderful nutrients. Of course, when you cook the cabbage, you can end up destroying a lot of those nutrients. And as Alan pointed out, if you eat it raw, you may have a little discomfort. Well, fermentation is the perfect compromise. So we developed these over really decades of trying to get my children to eat more sauerkraut for the health benefits. I had been making traditional sauerkraut.
That's cooked, though, right?
No, it still is pressed into a crock and allowed to ferment, but usually it's very plain. It's just the plain cabbage and a little bit of salt, and then you pack it down in crocks. And most of the time, people would place the crocks in their cellar and let it do its magic. Well, eventually, my children got tired of my plain sauerkraut. So the very first thing I did, interestingly enough, is I decided to change the texture. I started chopping the cabbage very, very tiny instead of the long shredded cabbage. I started chopping it very fine. So the children loved the texture a lot better than the traditional sauerkraut.
It fit on a spoon.
Yeah, it was great for them. And then I would add a few things here and there. So you can see over years, this all developed. And eventually I said, look, why stop at just putting a clove of garlic in or a little bit of herbs? Why don't I really make it something different and unique? So as you mentioned earlier, I borrowed from world cuisine, and I came up with the idea of having different varieties from around the world. We have, for example, Ukrainian, Indian, Japanese, German, which is a very traditional tasting flavor, Cajun, and many, many more.
What did you give me up in the kitchen? It was fabulous.
That was my newest variety, Ukrainian. And it has the tiny chopped cabbage. All of the varieties start out with cabbage and a little bit of sea salt. And then I add beets, carrots, fresh garlic, fresh dill, and sweet onion.
Mm.
And I fashioned it after Ukrainian borscht. So that was where my inspiration for this variety came. And actually, it was a customer who said, "Do you make a variety with beets?" And I said, "No, no, I don't currently, but obviously beets, you know, borscht."
Wow, that's the first time I've had beets since I was about 8 years old. My father loved the stuff, and I hated them. So this is good. You've done well already.
And what I did with it, the sample you tasted was some whipped cream cheese mixed in with this variety, and that's it. It's so simple. And you can serve it in sandwiches, with chips, on crackers. There are so many different things you can do with this product. It now becomes more of a, let's say, a delicacy, a salsa, a kind of a condiment, than a sauerkraut. And the flavors are truly unique.
So when you go to, say, the farmer's market in Oneonta, are people surprised at the variety?
Absolutely. Very surprised. And this is the reason I do farmer's markets primarily, because this product does not sell itself. I need to discuss it with people. I need to educate people. I need to share it with them. I give free samples everywhere I go, because no one has really ever tasted anything quite like this.
That's pretty good stuff. Well, we'll tell you what. We'll take a break here. Let me give the phone number, 800-348-2551. Our guest is Kyla Titus, author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove. And we'll take your calls coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit about the fermentation process, which I find all very mysterious. It's Vox Pop. It's Foon Friday. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. breadandbutteramherst.com. Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, presenting the Vote Here, Vote Now series, featuring exhibition, speakers, concert, and more. schenectadyhistorical.org. Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, tea, soups, and sandwiches, using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. roundhousebakery.blogspot.in. Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York. preservenys.org. And Crown Maple Syrup, Hudson Valley, cafe open every weekend for lunch, drinks by the patio fire, fall foliage, maple tours, and special events. crownmaple.com for details.
Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Mmm, what did I just eat? What was that?
Well, you just had the Ukrainian variety of sauerkraut.
Which I had earlier,
you had
mixed
that earlier,
with sour cream.
But this time what I did was I put it on a romaine lettuce leaf for you with a little bit of ranch dressing. And it actually was in a salad that my granddaughter invented called a tiny Christmas salad. Chopped lettuce with the Ukrainian variety and ranch dressing on top because of the beautiful colors. She loves it, but
well,
she also eats it, which is amazing.
That's a real trick with kids. That's
it
really
is
something.
And that is why all of this was developed initially. Yes.
And so what was the other one?
The other one was the Indian variety, which has, of course, curry, a lot of turmeric. I put a lot of turmeric in it, fresh cilantro, sweet onion, a little bit of chili pepper, and a dash of cumin. And I served that on a lettuce leaf, again, to give you the sense of what it might taste like on a salad. And I put blue cheese crumbles on it.
Mm, fantastic. Okay, well, so far you're batting 1,000. And believe me, I'll tell you if I don't like it. I know it's great. We had an email here from Matt who says, one of my favorites is Brussels sprouts. What about fermenting those?
Well, I'm sticking to green cabbage because I know what works. I've never tried fermenting Brussels
Could
sprouts.
Could that be a sequel? To your book?
I don't think so.
No?
And I'll tell you why, because I have tried fermenting many other items, and I find that cabbage is the easiest to ferment. And again, as I mentioned before, cabbage comes ready-made for fermentation. You do not need a starter. You don't have to worry about really watching it too much. You just do a few simple steps and you've got a magical creation. It's just a wonderful food to watch. But any other vegetable, I think you really would need to do a little more work, a starter perhaps. And that's something I don't concentrate on.
Okay, our guest is Kyla Titus today, and we'll get into the fermentation steps because, again, I know nothing really about it. But let's go to the phones. And Emily in Marlboro. Emily, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to tell you that I'm a long-time fermented foods eater. I eat also a lot of miso as well as the different fermented cabbages and the sauerkrauts. And the only reason I called, besides to tell you thank you for doing what you're doing, because I think it's such a healthy probiotic food that I think it's great when people put that out there. It's very healthy for people's gut. But the reason that I called is you said that you only do farmers markets, and I was just calling to encourage you or inspire you to bottle your stuff and sell it in the health food stores. And the reason why is that all different kinds of sauerkrauts are actually really, they're all over the health food store. There's many different companies now that make them. It sounds like your flavors are maybe more unique, which is great. But, yeah, get it into the health food stores because if you've got great flavors, people buy sauerkraut now like crazy. It's very, very popular, and buying foods that are probiotic are very, very popular. So I just want to encourage you to do that, and, you know, thank you for putting out a good, healthy food.
Well, thank you so much, Emily. I really appreciate the feedback. Certainly, I would consider it at some point, but I really feel strongly about educating people to do this themselves in their own homes because it's far better to make it fresh yourself and to have several different jars or varieties bubbling at the same time, you know, or at different stages and consume it that way. I'd like to encourage people to do this for themselves. That doesn't mean, of course, that I wouldn't consider doing some of the bottles in a health food store or other venues. I just find the markets, well, frankly, it's a lot of fun for me. I love discussing this product. I'm very passionate about it.
That shows.
And so I enjoy the interaction with people, especially when I convince someone who says they don't like cabbage or sauerkraut, when I convince them to try it, and then they just, love it so much, and they weren't expecting the flavors. So that part of it is fun for me, certainly at some point. And also, this is relatively new, my being involved in selling this at all or serving it to people at all. It's been a very private thing for me for a long time, and I was convinced by family and friends to come out and do this and share it with the world.
Well, Emily, thank you for that call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Our guest is Kyla Titus, author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove and proprietor of The Cabbage Cove, a micro-cabbagery in Richfield Springs, New York. Yeah, you know, all right, this is a perhaps the ugly American talking here, but could you ever put this stuff on a hot dog?
Yeah? Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact,
now you're talking.
Yes, you could probably have a different hot dog experience for several weeks with the different varieties. In fact, the Indian variety that you had is especially good on a hot dog.
Why would
it
put that on kielbasa?
Like, well, it tastes like a mustard, a sauerkraut, and a relish all in one.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, the food is delicious. And I got to say, you know, I like sauerkraut. Obviously, of German stock. Sauerkraut is not foreign to me, but this is something else entirely. Let's go to Dylan in Pleasant Valley. Dylan, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm a big sauerkraut fan.
All right.
I love my Rubens and my hot dogs and, you know, all the typical stuff. But, you know, I really was wondering if you could give me something exceptional, something, you know, different. You know, maybe some kind of meal idea that, you know, maybe it's out of your book, something I could, you know.
That's a great idea.
If I really wanted.
Why don't you host the show, Dylan? That's a fine question.
Oh, absolutely. I'll do my best. First of all, a lot of my recipes are variety dependent. So, for example, with the Indian that we've been talking a lot about, you can have that on a hot dog, but I also have a recipe where I put a layer of it on top of cooked hot chicken and rice, serve it with diced avocado and fresh cilantro. And it's like a gourmet meal. It's so wonderful. So the other thing you can do is, for example, with the Mexican variety, you can eat it with tortilla chips as a salsa, but you can also throw it into eggs in a pan and make an omelet, an instant Mexican omelet. I kind of call it a fast food because all of the chopping of your raw veggies is done for you, only it's got the probiotics in it as well. So chop some lettuce, throw a variety on top. You don't even need salad dressing. We do put salad dressing in some of our recipes, but you really don't need it because the sauerkraut is so moist.
Dylan, thanks.
Delicious.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. It's 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday today with Kyla Titus, author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove, The Things I Learn on This Program. It's quite amazing. All right, first of all, before we get to the next call, I need you to take me through the fermentation process. Sounds very dangerous, exploding bottles and whatnot. Tell me about it.
No, it's not at all. In fact, it's one of the safest processes you can perform in your kitchen. And that's because the pH of the product drops, making it unsuitable for the harmful microorganisms. So we create an environment that is conducive to the growth of the beneficial microorganisms, in other words, the probiotics. And we do that by adding a little bit of salt to the cabbage, which draws out the moisture and also creates a kind of an unfriendly environment for the bad germs. And the first stage that occurs is these microorganisms that produce a whole bunch of different compounds in basically a 3 or 4 day process of setting up the environment for the lactobacillus that we are looking to consume. And the lactobacillus take over and they drop the pH of the product further so that it becomes a highly acid environment. And it also adds that sour flavor to the product.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. Cabbage, sea salt, let it sit for a little while.
How long is a little while?
Well, I would say a total time, if you have the perfect temperature, which is about 65 degrees Fahrenheit, about 3 weeks.
Really?
Is how long it would take. Now, traditionally, people will place a crock of sauerkraut in their cellars, and the temperature is much lower. That will make the fermentation process drawn out a little more, so it'll take several months to ferment.
So you put it in a glass jar?
You can put it in a glass jar, crock, anything really is fine. I know that you can, a lot of people use airlocks and get very fancy, but I don't think that that's necessary.
Now, what do you mean an airlock? So to let gas escape?
To remove as much oxygen as possible from the product, because you do want to create an environment that has very little oxygen. Hmm. The bacteria we're talking about are anaerobic, so they thrive in an oxygen-free environment.
Well, I'll be darned. So the probiotic benefits of this, what benefits are, and I know you're probably not a doctor, although you do teach fermentation at colleges from time to time, right?
Well, actually, I'm teaching my first class at Hartwick College this Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
So I would like to do more because I think it's an interesting.
But you're not a medical doctor.
No,
probiotics, what are they supposed to do?
Well, everybody can research on their own probiotics.
Except me, obviously.
But from what I've researched and from what I've experienced, probiotics take up residence in your belly and they help with your digestive functioning. And they also help with your immune system because apparently some estimates are as high as 90% of your immune function comes from your gut.
I'll be darned.
That's, now again, I'm not the expert on this part of it, but I've been researching probiotics for a very long time, and this is what I've come up with, that they're very good for you, and they certainly do help with your digestion and your overall energy levels and level of health.
So Kyla Titus is our guest, and you mentioned that the fermentation process drops the pH, makes it more acid. What about those of us who get a little agita from time to time, a little heartburn? Isn't the acid food not it's counterintuitive, right?
No, actually, it's interesting because even though the pH is low, it creates an alkaline response in your body.
I'll cut it out.
So, yeah, so it really, most people that have any kind of digestive issues, I have heard back from them that their digestion has improved with eating this product.
Really?
So, yes.
So I'll have like three or four bowls of it before I leave today. All right. We'll get back to the phones in a moment here. 800-348-2551. Here's an email that came in from Emily, who says, I took a workshop in traditional pickling. And that's funny. Before I get back to the letter, when I first put the page up early in the week, it said cabbage and pickling. And you, within moments, said, hey, hold the phone here, chump. It's not pickling. It's fermentation. So there's a difference, eh?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Pickling usually involves the use of vinegar to preserve food items. And virtually anything can be preserved in vinegar. And fermentation does not require the use of any additional preservatives or vinegar or sugar or anything. It's just the cabbage. Just the cabbage.
This is from Emily, who says, who took a workshop in traditional pickling and have been making fermented cabbage from my own garden cabbage for a few years. Emily writes, originally I almost always made Asian-style cabbage with ginger, garlic, onions, and leeks, carrots, and hot peppers, but on the advice of one of our guests on Food Friday about German food, tried making kraut flavored only with garlic, white wine, and plenty of dill seeds. It's amazing. You use 2 tablespoons of wine, 3 to 4 minced cloves of garlic, 1 tablespoon of dill seeds per 1.5 pounds of shredded cabbage. The only other ingredient is pure salt per your pickling rule, and let ferment for a month at temperatures in the 60s. A month. It's a long time.
Well, that's not far off from my 3-week goal. That's about the same. At the temperature in the 60s would probably, if it were low 60s, draw it out another week or so. But basically, I try to create everything within a few weeks so that I then pack it up while it's still fermenting. So that, first of all, it doesn't require refrigeration, so people can travel with it if they need to, or leave it in the car if they have to, or decide themselves how they want to handle it from that point on. But I want to get the probiotics to them. So it's still fermenting. There's very little chance that the product would be void of microorganisms.
Now, what happens if you leave it 3 or 4 years? Is it extra strong, or is there a certain saturation point?
I really don't know. Nobody that I know has ever left any of these varieties for that long. I did find an old one time in the back of my refrigerator that had actually frozen, and it was about 6 or 7 months old, and it was delicious. It was fine.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe an experiment for the next time?
Yes.
let one go. Let's go to Diane in East Chatham. Diane, you're on with Kyla Titus.
Great. Hi.
Hi, Diane.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Good. Okay. I saw something online, and I was very impressed with it, in which they used a great deal of cabbage, but also beets, carrots, I think even green peppers and sweet potatoes, everything all shredded up fine. But they used, I'm not sure what you would call this, but a precipitator or something of celery juice. And it looked like, I don't know, a cup of celery juice. And I was wondering, you know, what's your thought about that?
About adding celery juice, I guess,
yeah,
if it works, as long as you're aware of the changes occurring and if they're the desirable changes. I have not experimented with every substance, perhaps, that I could have. I have several dozen different varieties that I make with a variety of different vegetables. I don't add any juices other than a little bit of brine occasionally if... you know, just to cover the product and keep it moist and oxygen free. But as far as celery juice, I've never used it. I have used celery in my Cajun variety.
I was getting the impression from the presentation that was online that the celery juice was integral to getting the fermentation process to occur. So that's what
it's not necessary at all.
No.
The only thing that's necessary,
also,
green cabbage, salt, and the right temperature.
And your opinion of using not even just beets, but also green peppers and even, as I said, sweet potatoes. They threw everything in there.
I encourage the use of any vegetable at all.
Yeah.
I don't encourage the use of any animal products or additives or sugar or anything like that. But any vegetable is fair game. Any vegetable, herb, or spice is fair game, and experiment and create it yourself and you know, try different combinations.
All right, Diane, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Kylie Titus. So you say green cabbage only. What if you use the red?
Well, I've experimented a little bit. I really have not experimented as much as I'd like right now. I don't have the time. It's very hard to keep up with the demand.
I bet.
I don't see why it couldn't occur. The few times I did try it, it didn't really have the same appeal to me. That's not to say that somebody else wouldn't have a better experience or a different palate. So I just stick with what I know, and I know the green cabbage is the perfect food. Does not require any special treatment, starter, as I said, or preservatives or help in any way. So.
All right, let's go over to Charles in Otis, Massachusetts. Charles, you're on with Kyla Titus.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great talk today.
Hi,
just
Charles.
Just want to tell you a little thing. I'm an amateur astronomer and teacher, and I wrote a piece about a few years ago about the transit of Venus in 2012 and how Captain Cook had to go across the Pacific to observe it, and he mandated that his crew consume things like probiotics, like sauerkraut and, of course, citrus to prevent scurvy.
Yeah.
I never realized sauerkraut was a good preventive for scurvy, and it basically saved the lives of his crew and him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they adopted it after that as standard operating procedure for the British Navy.
There you go.
Neat.
Well, thanks a lot for that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
thanks, guys.
It.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. So when I make my own sauerkraut, let's say, in a bizarro world, I actually do something that involves cooking. I make my own sauerkraut. Do I have to then refrigerate it to keep it, or does it stay at room temperature?
Well, ideally, you keep it at room temperature. That way it's not cold and you can just use it raw instead of cooking it in recipes. You don't want to heat the sauerkraut very much because it will kill some of the microorganisms. So if you keep it at room temperature and then you kind of rotate your jars, and you'll always have a fresh supply of it. That would be the ideal
situation.
But
how long will it keep once you open a jar?
Well, opening is not relevant.
Really?
It doesn't matter whether you open it or not. What's important is the temperature that you keep it in. So, for example, if you make it and after a few weeks you put it in the fridge, that will slow down the fermentation process,
right,
and draw it out. So it will become months and months of fermentation instead of just a few weeks.
Huh.
Once it reaches the 3 to 4 week threshold and the fermentation starts to end, then you put it in the fridge and, you know, it's still a viable product for a very long time.
Our guest today is Kyla Titus, and we talk, fermented cabbage today. And the things I have learned, the things I didn't know, well, it was everything. But I've learned some stuff, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days, Pekarskys.com. Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, offering pick-your-own apples and fresh-picked apples from Windy Hill's Orchard and their own unpasteurized natural sweet cider, windyhillfarminc.com.
This is really this is nice. The food I get to eat on this program. This is stuff I've never had before. Our number is 800-348-2551. We talk fermented cabbage today with Kyla Titus. All right, I had the chicken salad, and the chicken salad was mixed with what?
Very simple. It was mixed with my spicy variety of sauerkraut and mayonnaise. That's
so good.
It's instant chicken salad, and of course you can do the same thing with tuna or hard-boiled eggs. You can make any kind of salad you want, just add mayo.
I would like that on a nice sourdough bread.
Yes.
Oh, so good. So good. And then I had the number one seller, too.
That would be the Korean.
Really?
That's very popular, yes. And I did fashion it after traditional kimchi. But, of course, I chopped my cabbage very fine. Traditional kimchi has large lettuce leaves, usually. And I borrowed some of the ingredients. It has red pepper flakes in it, radish, fresh scallion, and fresh ginger and fresh garlic. Fresh. That's it.
All right. Look, I'm sold. Let's go back to the phones. And Lisa in Belchertown, Mass. Lisa, you're on with Kyla Titus.
Hi. I have a question about, I put some, made some fermented cabbage, put it in the fridge after 5 days because I needed to leave on vacation. It's been in a month. Can I pull it back out and restart the fermentation process?
Yes, I believe you can. Yes. It's a very simple thing to go out and find a pH test strip paper from, let's say, range 0 to 6. You don't even really need that. But if you test the pH, if you're really concerned about it, then you can check the acidity level. If the pH falls below 4.5, it does not require refrigeration.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
You're
Thanks
so welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
calling.
It very much. Had a funny email here before I get back to the phones. This is from Savannah, who says, "So when my grandfather passed away in 1988, we were unaware that he had made a barrel of sauerkraut and had put it in his nan's basement. Come late spring, my nan called me because of a horrible smell. After searching, I found the culprit, a black bubbling barrel of goo. So 8 months turns to goo. It was awful." Now, you see, have you gone 8 months with yours?
If the product was refrigerated, about 6 months, I did taste a variety that was perfectly fine.
Okay, so maybe it was a warm basement, right?
It depends totally on the temperature. This is a product that is temperature dependent. So, again, cooler temperatures slow the fermentation process down.
Yeah.
And hotter temperatures will speed it up.
I mean, it was black goo. Are you sure it was sauerkraut, Savannah? I'm not sure about that.
Black goo.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat it.
Let's go to Jerry in Glens Bay, New York. Jerry, you're on.
Hi. I did try to make my own sauerkraut once, and I was a little disappointed because maybe I put too much salt. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely, it is a possibility.
Because it didn't get sour. It just remained. It did stay crunchy. Maybe I didn't put enough water. Is that possible?
No, it's more likely the salt content, because if you put too much salt, then our friendly bacteria will also not be able to grow. You put just the right amount, which is about 2 to 2.5% per, you know, cabbage pound. So for 5 pounds of cabbage, you would put 3 tablespoons of salt, and that's about the right range that you want. I mean, it's forgiving. You can go a little less, a little more. There is a range. But the salt is, if you put too much in, yes, it will kill our friendly bacteria.
Okay. So 5 pounds of cabbage, 3 tablespoons of salt.
Salt,
now,
yes.
Another question, if I may. I did stuff it really tight in the jars. Does that I did try to extract as much air out of it as well.
That's a good thing. Yes, absolutely.
Now,
but that
do,
that has nothing to do.
Do you have to stir it occasionally?
No. Just you try to release as much air as possible, and if you're making it at home in small pint size or quart size jars, then you really only need to take your hand and pack it down.
Not too vigorous.
You don't have to worry about it, really. You can take a plastic utensil and, let's say a plastic knife or something, and just release a few air bubbles.
Okay.
There are all kinds of different products you can buy to help with this process. I find them all unnecessary. And, in fact, one of my pushes to educating people is to show them how they can do it so inexpensively.
Easily.
There you go.
And easily. Mm-hmm.
And my other thing is chopping fine. Is that crucial to your recipe?
It's not crucial, but it does help, because the smaller pieces of cabbage will allow you to pack it better and remove more oxygen.
Huh. I can't wait to go buy a cabbage.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate the call. Now,
does
cutting it fine into small pieces increase the surface area and speed up the process?
Yes, it does. Well, it releases more of the juice, which is what you want. So there are a lot of reasons why this finer chopped cabbage is better for fermenting. But it also is just a wonderful texture. People like the texture better than the shredded cabbage.
I like it. I admit it. Let's go to Kristen in Wendell, Massachusetts. Kristen, you're on with Kyla Titus.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure.
Oh, great. So I have a story about the healing power of fermented cabbage.
Okay.
When 10 years ago, we adopted a child from Nepal, and we spent a lot of time over in India and Nepal, and I got Giardia twice and had to take two rounds of antibiotics.
Yeah.
And I could not handle another round because on the way home on the airplane, both my son and I got sick. He was 7. So instead of taking another round of antibiotics, because I felt so ill after two rounds, I fasted for a few days and kind of cleansed my intestines and just ate fermented foods, especially kimchi and miso. Mm-hmm. And I never had to take antibiotics, and the Giardia was gone.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, and I've been making it ever since.
Okay. Oh, well, wonderful. We got some great recipes here.
That is one of the reasons I became involved in making sauerkraut as well 30 years ago, because I went through a lot of these issues with my children. Antibiotic use and repeated illnesses and whatnot. So I understand where you're coming from. And again, I'm not a nutritionist or a doctor.
Right.
So I'm not giving any advice, but I personally have found health benefits from eating this product. It also, to me, needs to be as fresh as possible. So that's why I encourage people to make it in their own homes. It certainly is wonderful to go to a farmer's market and find these kinds of products there. The last thing you want to do is buy from a company, let's say, in California or far, far away, because you will not be getting it as fresh. I encourage local and fresh consumption.
Well, were your kids very healthy?
Were my kids very healthy? After a while, absolutely.
Yeah, so this helped in your estimation, anecdotally?
In my estimation, it did, yes.
Very good. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Fran on the Thruway. Fran, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing?
Great show. Your guest, I don't recall the guest's first name, but the guest varieties have inspired me to try fermenting myself for the first time with cabbage.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I use Himalayan pink salt, and I was wondering if you had any experience with that variety of salt versus sea salt, if you knew of any difference in proportion for your recipe.
Himalayan pink salt. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I do use sea salt only. Not that there really is any difference if you use commercial salt, that's fine too. But my personal preference is to use products that are as natural as possible. The sodium content is about the same. Maybe there are a few trace minerals more in sea salt. But I just prefer unadulterated items in my product. I try to buy organic where I need to, local, of course. Himalayan pink salt, I have not had any experience in, but I would recommend that if you do want to try that, to have it ground as finely as possible so that you get as close to the traditional white sea salt that you buy, you know, most anywhere now.
So not a coarse grind, but a very fine grind.
Yes, but of course you can experiment. Again, this is a product that is very forgiving. If you find that the bubbling and the heaving and all that wonderful fermentation is going on with your own type of salt, go for it.
Okay, Fran, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Kyla Titus is here. Kyla is the author of Secrets from the Cabbage Cove. And Nancy in Albany is on. Nancy.
Hi, how are you? I have a question about the lactobacillus. Where is that being sourced from? Is that something that's inherent in the plant, or is it something that is a natural contaminant of the plant, and we have to be careful how much we wash it? You're not adding a dairy product, right, to get the...
No, animal products whatsoever. Lactobacillus naturally occurs in the cabbage. Okay, and there are other microorganisms also that will be on the cabbage that you buy. I recommend peeling off the outer leaves and kind of washing the outside of it, because you'll have a lot of different microorganisms on the outside of the cabbage. But inside, again, green cabbage comes with just about everything, well, with everything necessary for successful fermentation, including the lactobacillus and the right amount of sugars, which become the food for those good bacteria.
Okay, and so in the ideal circumstance, it's 3 weeks at 65 degrees, is that what you said?
Yes. And there's a range, of course.
My product is ready. I'm sorry? And then my product is ready to go in the refrigerator, and then I can eat from there, or I could keep it at 65, and how long would it be good for?
Well, many weeks. The other thing is you can eat it after it heaves. Pretty much the lactobacillus will start to take over the fermentation after about 3 to 4 days. So you can eat it immediately after that. And then it will continue to ferment. So leave it at room temperature if you like. And hopefully you'll, you know, consume it and you won't have to worry about refrigeration.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Should it be in a dark room?
I don't find that light really affects it. I think that strong sunlight and the heat from that will affect it.
All right. Let's go over to Diana in Saugerties. Diana, you're on.
Hi. Nice. This is a very interesting topic. I've tried making kimchi once before, and I had a problem once with some mold, where it got moldy, and I don't know if there's just something where I maybe should be like boiling the glass bottles that I put it in. Maybe I'm thinking I didn't sterilize the container before I packed it in to store it in the refrigerator.
Well, theoretically,
have you ever had that?
I don't really feel that sterilization is necessary in this process, but I have to encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
But actually, mold, I do believe, will be coming from yeast somehow being introduced into the product.
Yeah.
So I don't have any experience with mold. My process, I have not had that problem at all.
Oh, and so you don't normally sterilize your containers before?
Well, I do for commercial use.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Yes.
I do for
okay.
commercial
yeah.
use. Yes, I have to do that for commercial use.
Okay.
But at home, I wouldn't do it for myself. I just, the environment is so hostile to bad microorganisms. And unless, again, yeasts are involved, I wouldn't think that you'd have a problem with mold. Now, if the mold is sitting on top, you can simply scrape that away, discard it, and the product underneath should be just fine.
Boy. Okay.
Again, I recommend if you
boy.
Like... Test it with a pH strip, or again, if you see bubbles and you see the CO2 gases forming, you know that it's fermenting, and you know that the product is a low pH.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. By the way, a couple of emails here. Pete says, should be made clear that a layer of liquid cabbage juice over the top of the crowd is what keeps out the oxygen. That's according to Pete.
Well, as I said, I do use a brine to put right on top of the cabbage, and you do want to make sure that the environment has as little oxygen as possible. Yes.
Righto.
Absolutely.
Righto. And one person wants, with a funny name, wants to know if you do any farmer's market besides Oneonta on Saturday.
Not currently, but we're hoping next year.
All right. Let's quickly get another call in here. And Nan in Stillwater. Nan, you're on with Kyla Titus.
Hi, Kyla. How are you?
Hi, Nan. Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I just had a question about, I'm diabetic, so I'm curious about the sugar content. I really, that Ukrainian cabbage sounded good to me, and I was wondering if you have labels on that, or you have any way of determining what the sugar content would be?
No, not for the farmer's market. The sugar content, the sugars, the only sugars that are in this product are the ones that naturally occur in the cabbage leaves, okay? As I mentioned earlier in the program, cabbage comes with a fairly high amount of sugar, and that's what causes some discomfort. Digestive discomfort is from the undigested sugars. Well, that provides the food for the probiotics. So, you see, they'll eat up that sugar, and eventually, at the end of the fermentation, it will be, virtually non-existent. So for anybody that's concerned about this really small amount of sugar, they can wait until the 3 or 4 weeks of fermentation is finished and then eat it. In other words, eat an older fermented cabbage instead of one that is, let's say, 3 or 4 or 5 days old. So wait until the process is complete before you eat if you're concerned about sugar. But as far as the actual sugar content, I don't know exactly what that would be, but I do know that at the end of about 3 weeks, the sugar content, for the most part, has dropped radically, and it's only the sugar really that's present in the cabbage. So the
okay, that's perfect, Ben. And you have in your book, I've already Googled this. I can't wait to go out and buy this book.
Okay, very good. We're almost out of time, Nan. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just wanted to know, do you have the recipes and everything in there?
Absolutely.
You know, I know you were talking to the gentleman about the recipe with the chicken cabbage, or the chicken and rice, and cabbage and avocado on top. So that's all in your book?
That's all in my book. I teach people how to make it. I have all of the recipes, and I also offer some unsolicited advice.
Well, very good. And you know what? This has been a fun program. Now, how can people find out more about you and the Cabbage Cove?
Well, we have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com. The Cabbage Cove.
Okay.
/ The Cabbage Cove. Or they can email me at thecabbagecove@hotmail.com. We do also have a website, thecabbagecove.com, but I'm currently renovating it.
Under construction.
Under construction, yes.
Well, Kyla, Titus, this was so much fun. Thanks a lot.
Well,
I hope you come back.
Thank you for having me, Ray. I would love to come back. Thank you so much.
Learned a lot and a good time, and the food was delicious. Support comes from Sutter's Meats, I should say, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh local pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. The Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Thanks again to Kyla Titus for being here. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Barb King took the calls. Thanks again for joining us this week on Vox Pop. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday. No, I guess not. I think it's a holiday. I'll be in the big chair on Monday for Medical Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Stand by for news.